I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praises to my God as long as I live. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. He remains faithful Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you at Harbor of Joy, and those of you that are listening in on Zoom, a special welcome to you as well. Just going to give you some of the highlights of what's in the bulletin today. There's some things that aren't in the bulletin that I want you to be aware of. One is that some of us got together yesterday to put those Operation Christmas Child boxes together. And I heard that we put 80 boxes together that will be sent to who knows where, just with a Samaritan's purse. And if you'd like to help with the postage, each box costs $9 for postage. And so, I mean, if you want to help with that, that's entirely up to you. If you got any questions about that, see Carol Benson. Carol, raise your hand. She's the one that can talk to you if you got any questions about Operation Christmas Child. We thank you so much, Carol, for taking this upon yourself. I don't know how you do it, but there's a lot of stuff.
A lot of giving hearts.
Yeah. We appreciate everybody who's helped in doing that.
Well, we're going to load the boxes at the church if anybody's available.
Okay. If you'd like to help load up these 80 boxes into her vehicle, because we have to take them to Worthington, Minnesota to drop them off. And that's not typical. Usually you had a drop-off point here in the local area here, but kind of getting further and further away.
Tim, those boxes, one of our missionaries, Everest, he trains about 100 people to go out into the villages and tell the story of Jesus and hand these boxes out. Last year, they gave out 6,000 boxes.
Yeah.
It's amazing. All of that outreach goes to villages that have never heard before the name of Jesus. So they go out. So it's an incredible thing.
Yeah, it really is. And you can about imagine the smiles that these kids, even before they even look inside the box, that they got a box and they have no idea what's inside. And the things we put in there yesterday, I mean, we don't know where they're going to go or where they're going to end up, but we did pray over them. So wherever they go, that's already something that they don't even know about. But they do get to hear about Jesus. And that's part of what goes along with these boxes. They're just not handed out and the kids go and run and open them, but they get to hear the story of Jesus. And for a lot of them, they've never heard these kinds of, sometimes it even goes to Muslims, I believe, to kids who grew up in Muslim homes that they've heard of Isa, I think is what they call him, but they never heard the real story about Jesus Christ, what he's done for us. So that's a great thing. Thanks for everybody that helped out with that. And for those of you that are going to help load these boxes after the service today, I would help you, but I got confirmation. I got to run to right away. So
get the confirmants to help.
Oh, they're busy. They just they got to get down to brass tacks here. I also want to remind you that this Wednesday night at 7:00, we're having a Thanksgiving service here at the church, and so there'll be no other kinds of things happening here on Wednesday night other than just a Thanksgiving service. That's at 7:00. Thursday is Thanksgiving Day, so there will be no Bible study on the Book of Revelation on Thanksgiving Day, just so you know that. And enjoy yourselves wherever you may be, which most of us will be just at home. Just at home. No family to come, no family to go to. It's going to be a strange Thanksgiving. But just wait. Might be the same Christmas. I don't know what that'll be like. Let's take it one day at a time. Also, I'd like to remind you that next Saturday, usually after Thanksgiving, the next Saturday is when we decorate the sanctuary and put up the nativity scene outside. If you are able to be able to help with that, I would just say come 9:00 next Saturday and we'll just kind of go from there. See who shows up. We'll get done what we can get done. So that next Sunday when you come here, you'll see a little bit of, we're getting ready for Christmas. And that is always, well, usually something we always look forward to do. I'm not sure about this year, how it's going to work.
But I'm sure it'll be a great Christmas no matter what. Won't it? Also, that's not in the bulletin here, is that Dorothy Cherry, I think she's coming home tomorrow from Sioux Falls. You know, Dorothy had a blood clot in a blood vessel in her brain, and we're glad that she's doing well enough that she's going to be released and come home to her home on Monday. And also to remind you that following the service today, there are some bags of pork. Remember last week we said that you could go get a pork sandwich and a pickle spear and what else was there?
Beans
for reaching the unreached, and and give a donation towards reaching those in Africa. And you know, there was a lot of pork left over. So they put it in bags, you can get a bun, and it'd be back in the kitchen if you want to grab a bag and a bun, and there's an offering plate back there if you'd like to give to Reaching Beyond. You sure can do that today. But that goes to Pastor Tim and Bev Nabby as they, is it Nabby or not?
We answer to anything.
Okay. I don't like what my name. It's Both or it's Both? Usually it's Both, and I go like, it doesn't matter. Went through that in the military. Mail call. Bah, bah. That's okay. That's what it'll be. So at any rate, those are some things that are in the bulletin. There's other things that you find. One is if you want the bulletin emailed to you, Charlie will do that. If she knows that that's what you want, you'll have to give her a call at the church office. Give her, make sure she's got your email address so that she can and know that you want it, and so she will send that to you, so you get that ahead of time, if you'd like. Don't do that this week, because she's on vacation. She is here on Sunday mornings, but don't bother her. Even though she wouldn't mind if you did. But she's on vacation. That's why she's so happy. So, but there's other things in the bulletin. You can read them for yourselves. And if you're here today, just joining us, and for worship today, a special welcome to you. Glad that you are here with us today, and we look forward to seeing you again whenever that may be. So with that, I'm just going to turn it back over to the praise band here as we sing Near the Cross.
Would you please stand as we sing this morning? God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Lord Jesus Christ. Words from Paul. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
seated. The responsive reading today comes from Psalm 95, 1 through 7, 8. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song.
For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods.
In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountains belong to him.
The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land.
Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care.
Psalm we've been doing for the month is called Resurrecting. This will be the last, since it's the last Sunday. Actually, there's one more Sunday on Resurrecting. Well, we're still just going to sing this song.
Thank you.
appreciate your ministry to us in song, and bless your little fingers and drumsticks, that we have wonderful music every time we get together. If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to, even if you don't have your Bible with you, just invite you to stand as we hear God's Word this morning, where the message comes from. It comes from the book of Matthew, the first book in the New Testament, and it is another parable, the last parable that Jesus gives to his disciples as he's talking about his coming again. I'd like to read from Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46 today, in Jesus' name. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also answered, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" And he will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of these, the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away in eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that we have before us. Pretty straightforward in a lot of ways. And so, Lord, as you spoke it to your disciples so long ago, we just pray that you would make your word come alive for us today and use it in our hearts and in our lives here in 2020. May we know that it's you that speaks to us today, as we know that you desire to have all of us to come to you and to know you personally as Lord and Savior. So help me as I preach today, Lord, to make it concise and clear and to the point. And may we be blessed because we've heard your word today. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. One of the interesting things about preaching is that you learn things every time you have a speech to give. You know, I have preached on this text before, but when I preached on it, little did I know that in the context of it, it's in response to the disciples coming to Jesus way back in Matthew chapter 24, the beginning of chapter 24. Where the disciples go to Jesus privately on the Mount of Olives, and they said, when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? So Jesus is answering his disciples' questions, and he just says, look for these signs. Look for these signs. And he goes on in the beginning of chapter 24. It says, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And that's a key word there, that people will come and deceive others about who Jesus is. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen. But the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you'll be hated by all nations because of me. And Jesus referring to himself. Just because you believe and trust in Jesus, we will be persecuted. Sometimes even to death. And it says that at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. So we find that Jesus uses three parables that we've gone over the last couple of weeks. This is a third parable that he explains to his disciples what they're to look for. Remember the ten virgins? They were to be watchful. They were to make sure that their light, the oil in their lamps would not go out. They'd have enough oil and be watching for the bridegroom when he would come. And they were wise. The ones who were wise were the ones who had enough oil and prepared for that. The second parable was the talents, the ten talents. And that one was really, be faithful with what you have been given. In the meantime, you know, as the Lord is going to come, we still need to be involved, but be faithful what God has given to us and has been given to you. And now today's parable is one with the sheep and the goats. And here it just goes on at the end. He tells his disciples that, hey, the time's going to come where the shepherd is going to separate the sheep from the goats. There's going to be a separation. And that separation is one to eternal life and one is to eternal fire. I watched a little documentary last night on the Smithsonian Institute that had to do with Treblinka. It goes back to World War II. The Nazis, as they brought in the Jews on trains, they didn't care about how long they were on the trains. But when it came to Treblinka, as it was in most of the concentration camps, death camps, as they'd get them out of the railroad cars, and then they would say, the men, you get on the right, the women and children, you're on the left. And it wasn't just a matter of a few hours. All the women and children were gassed. And we're dead. That was really not all that long ago. Some of you remember hearing these things way back. We find that Jesus says the sheep are to go to the right, the goats to the left. Just like there is the sifting of wheat in the harvest. The chaff goes one direction, but the wheat gets saved. In the beginning of our text today, in Matthew 25, verse 31 through 32, it talks about the Son of Man coming. It really says that, hey, now, when Jesus comes, You'll see him in his glory. You think of glory, it's going to be a light. There's going to be a lot of light that comes with him into this dark world of sin. And all the angels will gather with him. I mean, I have no idea of how to explain what that's going to look like, but in God's word says that is what we will see. Jesus in all of his glory with all the angels. It's going to be quite a sight that everyone on this earth is going to be able to witness and to see. He also says that all the nations will be gathered before him as he sits on his throne. But keep in mind that it is Jesus who does the separating. It's not me, it's not you. It's what Jesus does. He's the only one who can do the separating of who is on the right and who's on the left. I remember seeing the Iron Curtain when it was still an Iron Curtain. I'd gone to Berlin in the military. We had to travel at night on a train to get to Berlin because you couldn't see anything in the Eastern Bloc countries. And Berlin was like a little island, must be West Berlin, that we were in. Went through Checkpoint Charlie, had to be in Class A dress as they took us in a bus into East Berlin to go to a museum. And as soon as you crossed Checkpoint Charlie, you knew right away that you were in like a different place. There was really no traffic. And no matter where you looked, you saw somebody watching you on the corners in East Berlin. You could just feel being watched. It reminds me of a story at a time when the Iron Curtain was still up, that you could not take a Bible into those countries. They call you Bible smugglers if you did, but there were still people who worshiped together, but they had to be very careful when they'd gather together to worship. But there's a group of people in a church one day that they were worshiping the Lord, and all of a sudden the back door opened up and there was a group of armed soldiers that came into the church and said, "If you're not a Christian, leave." And they gave time. There's some people who got up from the congregation and they left and they went out the door. As they went out the door, the soldiers closed those doors and said, "Are there any others who are not Christians?" Because if you are a Christian, you're going to die. And the people just stayed there. And then they said, "Good. We are believers too. We just wanted to make sure that we were among believers." There was a separation that took place even in that church. Those who were just playing church and those they wanted to know who were for real believers. Can that happen today in America? God knows. He knows your heart today as well. It is in this parable that the king is referred to, and there's no way missing it that this is Jesus. He's referred to as a king. And he's the one who says that the sheep are on the right, and he says to them, "Come, blessed are you. You receive your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Whatever you did to the least of one of these brothers of mine, you did for me." In the narrow sense, there are some of the theologians believe that Jesus is talking to those that have been out evangelizing, those that have been true to giving God's word to other people in other places that were arrested and they had to find places to stay and people to bring them into their homes to welcome them and watch over them. There are some that were thrown into prison that others went to minister to these people. That's kind of the narrow sense. And then in the wider sense, it's to those that are just very mindful of other people and want to make a difference in their lives. They see a need, and they're there to meet that need. You see that in this church, and I just think of those of you that go to the Akira Health Center, the nursing home here in Milford. You know, that's a real ministry that you do that a lot of people don't even know you're doing that. Or sometimes you go to Keelson Harbor Assisted Living in Spirit Lake. You know, and you love those people. You go to them. And no one really knows all that you do. I don't even know all that you do. But I know that these people just love you to death. I shouldn't say to death. They love you to pieces. They just really are just so glad that you come and see them and do what you can do even now with this COVID-19. Thinking of just the Operation Christmas Child, you know, to do what we do, and you don't know who these kids are going to be or what part of the world they're going to receive these boxes, but they're going to hear about Jesus Christ. That's wonderful. That's great. We think of those kids that come on Wednesday night after school, late afternoon, the Joy kids, the Joy Us kids, the confirmation students. You know, a lot of people could care less about those kids. But yet there's some of you that just has a real heart for ministering to them, and you just don't give up. Planting seeds of faith. So there are things that are happening even here in Milford. There's some of you that are part of it. Some of you go like, well, not actually doing it, but I help these people in the church do it because that's where my offering goes to. That's where I give to help them so that these things can continue on. So it's kind of, we're still doing it part of the congregation, as a family here. And it's not for everybody. But for those of you that have that heart, and especially the patience, you know, there are some nights I don't have the patience with the confirmation kids. I just say, we're done. And that's it. Call your mom and dad, tell them to come and get you. I've had it up to here. But I try to do that very nicely. And we don't know what we are instilling or what the kids are seeing as time goes on. Now we're zooming to some of those younger ones, you know, and Patty, you do a great job in putting that all together. I've never seen it. I've never gone online to see what we do when you put it all together, but I do see some of you that do the puppets, the messages with the puppets, and, you know, I see that kind of live here, and I just think it's great. So these are, you know, sometimes where people say, like, they're the least of these. But yet, we reach out to them. And we could go on with other things that take place as well. The third point I want to make in today's message is this, is that Jesus is going to come either as your Savior or he's going to come as your judge. He's given us the opportunity today that we can still know him as our Savior. And that is really my heart's desire, that you would want to see him and to meet him as your Savior, not as your judge. A Savior is one who comes to save us from our sin. A Savior is one who laid down his life for the sheep. He's the shepherd. He laid his life down for you so that our sins can be forgiven. And we believe that by faith. What's interesting I find here in our text is that even when the king says this to those who are blessed and who are the sheep, they ask, like, when did we do this? I don't remember when you were thirsty or when you were hungry or, you know, on and on that it goes. When did we do this? I go like, you know, that's exactly the way it is. We do things because we're a Christian and we don't want anything in return. We just do it because that's who we are. But the king says, well, this is why you are the sheep. And you look at that, even those that are the goats, they ask, well, when did we do this? When were you thirsty? When were you hungry? When were you you know, sick, when were you in prison type of thing. And Jesus says to them, the goats, he said, it's because you did nothing. You did nothing. And then there is a separation. That's why you're the goats. And you'll be punished. We don't like to hear that a lot of times. But you've got the sheep who are here, the Savior, say to them, come. This is what I want to give to you. You inherit the kingdom. And to the goats, he says, goat. You got a goat to punishment. Because you didn't care about anything. And didn't do anything for the least of these. So there's two different things. You hear the word come is an invitation to come on in. To hear the word depart, go, leave, I don't know you. Something that is not necessary for you to hear. And that's why it's important for you to have Jesus Christ as your Savior. The sheep are given eternal life, and the goats are judged to eternal punishment. Now let me ask you this, how can you tell if you are a sheep or a goat today? It's pretty easy. A goat likes to butt heads. And so do some people. Some I've heard say, sure I have a temper, but that's the word but. Sure I have a temper, but that's just the way I am. God can't help me, and I've never asked God to help me, and I don't think I ever will ask God to help me. But that's just the way I am. You just got to accept me for the way I am. I'm never going to change. Some will say, yeah, I know I shouldn't be hanging out in the bars, but there's the buts. There's nothing else to do. That's not true. There's a lot of things you can do. There's some who say, why don't you give your heart to Jesus Christ? And there's some who will respond back, I would, but I don't want to change my lifestyle. The but. Look for the but. Goats like using the word but. And that following through. I know that I need God in my life, but not yet. Someday maybe, but not right now. When the goats are asked to step to the left, they will say, but wait a minute. But wait a minute. But it's going to be too late. There is no but. When it comes before Jesus, and he's the judge. For the sheep know the shepherd's voice, and the sheep listen to him. The sheep. Wouldn't you rather hear Jesus say to you, come, you who are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Wouldn't you rather hear that than hear the words depart? Or to catch yourself saying, but, wait a minute, wait a minute. There is no but. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, came and laid down his life for all of us. For you too. Is he your Savior? That's what's really important. And that's what Jesus wants to impress upon his disciples. Be a sheep. You don't want to be a goat. Nope, nope, nope. No goat. You see, because a goat has no hope. You want to be a sheep. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's pretty straightforward what we see here in our text. Being a sheep or a goat. One goes to the right, your word says it's a sheep. One goes to the left, that's the goats. Lord, back in the day when Jesus walked this earth, sheep were more valuable than goats. Goats eat anything. They can eat and destroy land and property, because they'll eat anything. Sheep, on the other hand, are a little bit more particular. And they give wool that can be used for clothing and can be sold. With goats, you got kind of goat hair. Can be used for some things, but it's not the top choice. And so, Lord, your word says that we are the sheep of your pasture. Your word also says that all we like sheep have gone astray. Sheep like to wander away from the shepherd. There could be someone here today that is like a sheep who has wandered away. And it is you, Lord, as the good shepherd, you go out to look for every sheep who is wandering away, and you want to bring them back into the fold. And maybe that is someone here today that you are already working in his or her life. I'm just saying, come. Your arms are wide open. You're welcoming. You're saying to them, come. Come back to me. And I'll take you back to the fold. Is there someone here today that Jesus is speaking to? Is he knocking on your heart's door, waiting for you to open your heart and just saying, Jesus, come in. I'm tired of wandering away. I'm tired of running away. I'm tired of just trying to do things in my own strength, my own way. I'm just plain tired. Come into my life to be my Lord and my Savior. I want to be a sheep to you who is the good shepherd. And we do this, Lord, by faith. And so thank you for hearing this prayer this morning. And whoever it may be, you've heard it. Things begin anew. A new start is given. And there's a new voice that we can hear, which is Jesus' voice in our hearts and our lives. So thank you, Lord, for speaking to us today. You're not interested in making us a religious people. You're interested in making us wanting us to have a relationship with you. A love relationship. It's a big difference. And so it was also your disciples who asked you, Lord, how to pray. And you said this, and may we say it together. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together this morning, followed by the benediction. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated.
Peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks.